An Editor's Tales by Anthony Trollope. The Turkish Bath. It was in the month of August. The world had gone to the moors and the Rhine, but we were still kept in town by the exigencies of our position. We had been worked hard during the preceding year, and were not quite as well as our best friends might have wished us, and we resolved upon taking a Turkish bath. This little story records the experience of one individual man, but our readers, we hope, will, without a grudge, allow us the use of the editorial we. We doubt whether the story could be told at all in any other form. We resolved upon taking a Turkish bath, and at about 3 o'clock in the day we strutted from the outer to the inner room of the establishment in that light costume, and with that air of Arab dignity which are peculiar to the place. As everybody has not taken a Turkish bath in Jermyn Street, we will give the shortest possible description of the position. We had entered, of course, in the usual way, leaving our hat and our boots and our valuables among the numerous respectable assistants who thronged the approaches. And, as we had entered, we had observed a stout, middle-aged gentleman on the other side of the street, clad in vestments somewhat the worse for wear, and to our eyes particularly noticeable by reason of the tattered condition of his gloves. A well-to-do man may have no gloves, or may simply carry in his hands those which appertain to him rather as a thing of custom than for any use for which he requires them. But a tattered glove worn on the hand is to our eyes the surest sign of a futile attempt at outer respectability. It is melancholy to us beyond expression. Our brother editors, we do not doubt, are acquainted with the tattered glove, and have known the sadness which it produces. If there be an editor whose heart has not been softened by the feminine tattered glove, that editor is not our brother. In this instance, the tattered glove was worn by a man, and though the usual indication of poor circumstances was conveyed, there was nevertheless something jaunty in the gentleman's step which preserved him from the desecration of pity. We barely saw him, but still were thinking of him as we passed into the building with the Oriental letters on it, and took off our boots and pulled out our watch and purse. We were, of course, accommodated with 2 checked towels, and having in vain attempted to show that we were to the manner born by fastening the larger of them satisfactorily round our own otherwise naked person, had obtained the assistance of one of those very skillful Eastern boys who glide about the place and create envy by their familiarity with its mysteries. With an absence of all bashfulness which soon grows upon one, we had divested ourselves of our ordinary trappings beneath the gaze of 5 or 6 young men lying on surrounding sofas, among whom we recognized young Walker of the Treasury, and hereby testify on his behalf that he looks almost as fine a fellow without his clothes as he does with them, and had strutted through the doorway into the bathroom, trailing our 2nd towel behind us. Having observed the matter closely in the course of perhaps 6 visits, we are prepared to recommend that mode of entry to our young friends as being at the same time easy and oriental. There are those who wear the 2nd towel as a shawl, thereby no doubt achieving a certain decency of garb. But this is done to the utter loss of all dignity, and a feminine appearance is produced, such as is sometimes that of a lady of 50 looking after her maidservants at 7 o'clock in the morning, and intending to dress again before breakfast. And some there are who carry it under the arm, simply as a towel. But these are they who, from English perversity, willfully rob the institution of that picturesque orientalism which should be its greatest charm. A few are able to wear the article as a turban, and that no doubt should be done by all who are